Right, are we ready for God's word this morning? Let's open our Bibles to Numbers chapter 13, please. Numbers chapter 13. Today we conclude this long series that we've been on that I've entitled Giants. And the basic premise of this series that we have taken from God's word is that there in the Old Testament, there were physical giants that prevented God's people from entering the land of abundance, a land of fruitfulness, a land of more than enough that God had for them. And we said that those physical giants do not exist today. How many of y'all believe that there are people with certain personalities and dispositions and tendencies in their makeup of who they are that they resemble some of these giants? And this is kind of the approach we took. You know, in the Bible, names had significance. And we have looked at all these giants. There were seven giants mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 7. We've covered all those seven. And we covered one, number 8. And today we're going to cover the last one, number 9. So let's look at Numbers chapter 13, please. We're going to jump into, this is the story of when Moses sent the 12 spies into the land that flowed with milk and honey. They were to come back with an analysis of the land. They came back with a wonderful analysis. They said, this land is unbelievably fruitful. Look at some of the pomegranates. Look at these big, massive clusters of grapes. It is truly, as God said, Moses, a land that flows with milk and honey. Incidentally, milk and honey means that it flows with health and prosperity. And so they said, yes, it is that kind of land. But they said there are giants in that land. And 10 of those spies gave an evil report. Okay, and they said, we cannot go in. We're going to be basic lunch for those giants that dwell there. And so because of their negative report, they were not able to enter a better life. How many of y'all believe that Canaan was a better life than was the wilderness? You know, I like what T.D. Jake says, that the wilderness was God's welfare program for the Israelites for 40 years. It was God's food stamps. Listen, if you're listening on the radio, or however if you're on food stamps and you need help temporarily to get up, nothing wrong with that. But how many of y'all know that in America, there's a far better life than that? I think that deserved a little better, amen. I know this is not the 4th of July, yo, but we should be pretty patriotic year-round. I'm going to repeat that question. How many of y'all know that in America, there's a far better life than Uncle Sam giving us a hand up?
Amen.
And even a far better life that those within earshot, not here, hopefully not here, no, I'm teasing, but in the radio listening, if you're all about the handout, buddy, you need to get off your couch and stop eating those Hershey bars and those ho-hos and get a J-O-B.
Amen.
Thank you. You miss how I keep it real, right, guys? All right, so we're going to jump into this story here. We're going to get back to, let's jump into verse 26. So they departed and came back. These are the 12 spies to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went out to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, or health and prosperity, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. We talked about them last week. And notice verse 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Let's stop there. We've looked at all 8 of them. Tonight we're going to look at the last giant. We have saved the worst for last. And in the Bible, names have significance. So what does the name Amalekite mean? It simply means this. Listen, there are a couple of variations of definition as is in keeping with the Hebrew language. And it basically means to ring, W-R-I-N-G, to ring, like ringing the head off of a bird. Sorry, kids. Vacation Bible school is over. Like ringing a head off of a bird. It's that violent. Listen, I've done an extensive study on these characters and even looked at the most noted Jewish historian, Flavius Josephus, who is the most famous when his history work on the Bible, on the Old Testament, is far and away the best there is around today. And he said that the Amalekites were such, listen carefully, such evil people that the Jews did not see killing the Amalekite women and seeing the killing the Amalekite children as anything wrong because of the evil that they represented and the evil that they brought upon the Jews. The Amalekites were the Jews' worst enemy. These are the worst of all giants, and if we can boil their characteristic to two words, it would be this: pure evil. Pure evil. How many of us know that there are some people that can do you wrong, but you would not consider them to be evil? Right? I wouldn't. I mean, I've been done wrong, and I just wouldn't consider them to be evil. But how many of y'all know that there are evil people out there? And they are giants. And listen, the best way to win at their game is not even to play their game. You know, Jesus talked about evil being present in the world. And I'm telling you that one of the manifestations of evil is through certain personality types that don't have any fear for God. They have no regard for human beings, okay? Very important that we understand this characteristic. You know, let me illustrate one manifestation of evil that I have had a brush with, so to speak, in my life. You know, 2017, divorce was filed by my ex-wife, and it had not been finalized. And I remember it was October, late October of that year in 2017. And, you know, I was single, I was lonely, I was separated from my ex, and was lonely. You know, when you have 30 years of marriage, of companionship, and then you find yourself alone, you get very lonely. And then through Facebook, there was this one gal that began to flirt with me. At first, I was like, I don't know what's going on. You know, I didn't understand what she was trying to say, because she was very subtle at first. And then I would read and reread her messages to try to understand what she was all about. And then the more time passed, her comments became more forward. Oh, you're very good looking, Joe. Oh, I would like to. We should get together. We should. And you know, for a second, in my weakness of loneliness, can I keep it real, church family? Without there being any stones thrown, can I get a witness?
Amen.
You know, in my vulnerability, I began to flirt back with her, even though the divorce was not finalized. I know that was wrong. I did that for a little bit, and then I felt so convicted by the Holy Spirit that I just quit altogether. I quit interactions with this chick, and that was it. I would not answer any texts. I would not answer any Facebook private messages. And then, because she took offense to that, how many of y'all know that hell hath no fury like a woman scorned? And I'm telling you right now, this woman was evil. At the time, I was living in Lincoln, Illinois, and I was attending a church that was just about a third of a mile away from the apartment complex that I was living in. And I was, in fact, at that time, I remember vividly, I was meeting with the senior pastor for counseling because I was undergoing divorce. The pastor himself had been divorced, was remarried, and back in ministry. And so I was, you know, this was before that chick reached out to me. I had been seeing him. And then I remember going in, I remember vividly, it was a Monday, and that's when I had my counseling meetings with the pastor. I walked in, Mondays at 1 o'clock, I walked into his office. He said, "Sit down." Well, I didn't know what was going on. Normally he would say, "Hey, Joe, how's it going? How's your week been? Hey, let's talk about this, and, you know, let's talk about that." He said, "Sit down." He said, "I'm going to read you a letter that I got." I said, "Okay." I didn't know what was happening. And that gal that I just dropped like a bad habit, she sent that pastor, who was my pastor at the time, a letter stating that I was a sexual predator, that he should guard his sheep. And he ripped into me, and I said, "Look, I don't know what that's about." I explained the whole situation, and he said, "Well, listen, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, but if I see any slight little thing that remotely resembles what's on the accusations of this letter," he said, "you and I will have a heart-to-heart." I said, "Fair enough." Unbeknownst to me at the time, she sent that same letter to every church in Lincoln. Every church in Lincoln. Can we just say it? She's going to hell in a handbasket. How many of y'all would consider that evil? That is evil. That is pure evil. You know, there is such a thing in our country as assassination of character. You know, people just can't take a gun and kill you. It seems like that seems to be more and more common, unfortunately, these days. But people can try to kill you in other ways. And she tried to assassinate my character. You know, and then for a while, at first, I was in shock. And I was intimidated by this. And I was like, I was in total disbelief. But I welcomed my pastor's scrutiny, because I knew that what she was saying was completely off base. And it didn't stop there. I mean, this chick was the chick from Fatal Attraction. This was Glenn Close. Wasn't that the chick from Fatal Attraction? That was Glenn Close reincarnated in this other chick. I learned that day that, hey, baby, I don't care how pretty you are, you can be evil on the inside. And she found out where I worked at the time, at the hospice company I worked for, and she sent my boss a letter stating the same accusations. My boss called me in. I said, "Ma'am, she's done this to me in many other ways, in churches and such. It's not." And my boss believed me because she had seen my track record. My evaluations were always above average. They were good. They were more than good. They were excellent, my performance at that company. And she never saw any of what those accusations said. So she said, "You know, Joe, you might want to get yourself an attorney." And I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I said, "Lord, I just cannot get sucked into that game in this case. And I just need to keep living my life." Listen, I want to encourage you guys. Lies spread faster than the truth. But how many of y'all know the truth stays put a lot longer than lies? Who's ever encountered evil people in your life? You know, can I... This is why I love the Word of God, is because it just applies to so many aspects of our life. Part of that definition of Amalekites means a kinsman. How many of y'all know people, some of these evil people might have your last name? Pastor Joe. Or might have had your last name in the form of an ex. Can I go there? I have friends of mine, and I'm telling you, and some of their, I remember like Burke, my very good friend, when he got divorced, he said, "She destroyed me. She destroyed my dignity. She destroyed my self-worth. She destroyed me financially. She destroyed..." How many of y'all know that evil people are out to destroy? However...
I mentioned that men can destroy women too.
Okay.
Thank you.
The majority of evil people are women. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing, Catherine. Men can destroy. The men can even be more vicious. Well, I don't know about that. I'll back off since Terry Fowler's not here. Women can be more vicious, but men are not innocent. Is that fair? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. And they're not happy, listen carefully, they're not happy to see you miserable. They want to destroy you any which way they can. Right? Amen. You will not have part with us anymore. You cannot talk to the grandkids anymore. Whew. Some people can be evil. Now, another definition. See how I told you this Amalekite giant has many different variants of definition. Means attack. Who's ever been attacked? Listen, the person might not have been evil necessarily, but the attack itself was evil. Who would agree with me that there are some attacks on you that are pure evil? Been there, done that. You know, church family, just be on your guard about this and understand the game that is being played. These are giants. Remember in Deuteronomy 7, it says, do not enter a meaningful relationship with these giants. Right? Show them no mercy. What does that mean to you and me? Do not tolerate their shenanigans. What's that? Or dealings with them.
Don't have no dealings.
That's right, brother. I like the country way you said that. Double negative. Don't have no dealings with them. Any English people here? It takes a Mexican to teach you the English language properly. Have no dealings with them. Right, Brother Bob? It's out there, church family. Now, I want us to look at a scripture from Isaiah chapter 54, rather, verse 17. Notice, no weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me. You know what that verse says? That those attacks that have come against you, those lies that have been spread about you, they will not stick because the Lord is going to vindicate. He's going to prove us to be in the right in the long run. Who believes that? I cannot tell you, church family. I cannot tell you how many times in ministry I have relied and quoted that verse to myself to reassure me that God had my back when I was trying to do the best to walk in the right path as a leader, as a Christian, and yet people still lied about you. And how many of y'all would agree with me that you can do all the right things and still rub somebody the wrong way, rub the wrong person the wrong way, and here come the lies? I've seen it happen. Not just to me. Listen, I'm a part of a small online, small church pastor group. And I once asked the question, who's ever been lied about? Everybody there. Hundreds of responses. I've been lied about. Listen, the reality is, if you have a platform, you will be lied about. And blessed are the people who don't get sucked up in that game and say, well, wherever there's smoke, there's fire. You know, baby, you keep believing that, I'm going to let you see smoke. It'll be coming out my ears. It astounds me, church family. It astounds me how some people can be so easily swayed by lies and malicious gossip. My wife and I were talking about this. I said, honey, no matter how much you can keep your nose clean. Who believes with me that you can keep your nose clean, fly under the radar, stay in your lane, that somebody will say something about you? That is not true. And that is malicious. There's malice behind that, and that is evil. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5, please, if you have your Bible. So far, so good, everybody?
Yes.
Good teaching? Yes. Matthew 5. Thank you, sweetie. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. Notice what Jesus said. Blessed are you. Have you found it? Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of what against you? What did Jesus call it? Did Jesus call it just lies? He called it evil. When they say all kinds of evil against you, how? Falsely, for my sake. It's amazing, church family, that sometimes, listen, for whatever reason, people will say whoppers about you. I've had pastor friends that they've been lied about, some of the most horrific lies. You know, this is the one thing that I wish, can I be honest with you? That I wish that verse in Romans chapter 12 that says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I wish it reread like, for this one case, Joe, vengeance is yours, says the Lord. That I wish he would allow me that, because I would certainly, you know, there's nothing in the world that makes me angry than someone who knows that no matter what the pastor did, I'm going to one-up the pastor, and my ace in the hole, my ace of my sleeve, is speaking lies about him. Horrific, malicious, and damaging lies. You know, sweetheart, once you plant a thought in somebody's mind, pending on the person that lie has been planted in their mind, sometimes they'll always have that at the back of their mind. I've had pastor friends who were married, happily married, lies spoken about them that they were homosexual. Evil. Go with me in closing to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we will be done. We're going to read one verse. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. Notice, and the Lord will deliver me from every what kind of work? Doesn't the NIV say attack? The Lord will deliver me from every evil attack. Who believes that? Amen. I have been forced to believe that. When I was worried about what others would think of me, can you imagine walking in a city, rubbing against pastors that had this letter mailed to them that said, I am this and I am that, and guard your sheep? That is evil. And don't think for a minute I wanted to retaliate, but I did not. That's that Amalekite spirit. Don't tolerate it. Show it no mercy. Listen, I'm not saying that getting an attorney is wrong. If on occasion you need to find legal help, get the legal help. I felt like in this particular case, the Lord told me, Joe, just leave it in my hands. Don't pursue an attorney. Don't just leave it in my hands. Okay, Lord, I'll leave it in your hands. And you know, after that, that person just like, it seemed like they fell off the face of the earth. And I didn't mention that they used my name on a post on Facebook to spread to all their friends that I was a sexual predator. I'm telling you, church family. Listen, and I want to give a word of caution. If you hear lies about someone, do the right thing and reserve judgment. We live in a country where you are innocent till proven guilty. You know, it astounds me how many people, and I need to calm myself down, how many people, how many Christians, listen, will believe every lie they hear about a man or a woman of God. And they'll take up that cause. It's got to be true. Oh yeah, where's the proof? Where is the proof? Well, I don't need proof on this. Yes, you do. It's called America, baby. It's called, you got to have the preponderance of evidence. You got to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that that person is guilty. Yo, baby, this is not Mexico. This is not Iran. This is not Iraq. This is America. You are innocent till proven guilty. And if you want to traffic in lies, then have at it. But that's not for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. We pray that you help us, Lord, to receive it into our spirits. Help us, Lord, to guard against evil people. We might not see this giant often, but those of us who have had brushes with this giant, Lord, we know that they are formidable. We know that they have very damaging tongues and very evil motives. Father, we pray that you would help your sweet people, Lord. For wise as serpents, rather, but harmless as doves in this matter, in Jesus' name.